This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We got a little surprise snow in Pittsburgh today.
Yeah, how about that? That was a shocker for me.
Well, we're football weather.
Football weather, gearing up for the draft. Just a little over a week away.
Draft will be over a week away. And, of course, yesterday we got the news that Mike Tomlin had signed a three-year contract extension. Mm-hmm. Keep him as the Steelers coach, presumably through 2024.
Yeah.
Gotten mixed reviews on that.
It boggles my
which,
mind.
I don't understand.
Right.
Mike Tomlin's going to be a Hall of Fame member at some point in the future.
I think his resume is stronger than Cowher's, and Cowher just got in. And I'm not cutting on Cowher, and especially if you had three more years of wins, even if it's six wins a year. You know, I mean, either things go drastically south. I mean, they're not going to be 2-15 going forward. In fact, I think they have a chance to be quite good during those 3 years, especially a year from now, whenever they kind of reshuffle the deck a little bit. So
to your point, the next he's 21st. He and Pete Carroll are tied for 21st on the all-time
wins.
Regular season wins list.
Okay.
Carroll's been coaching 15 years, Tomlin 14.
Huh.
So
which is a feather in your cap, too.
I mean, right.
Carroll's have been pretty successful.
Yeah. So the next guy's up on the list, Tomlin has 145 wins. Bill Cowher at 149.
He's going to beat him this year.
He's going to move past that this year. Steve Owen at 153.
I'm not sure I know who that is.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
He coached the, I believe, the 49er teams back in the
60s or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe Gibbs at 154.
Wow. I mean, Joe Gibbs is a slam dunk Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Bud Grant at 158. Another Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. Four Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah. Mike Holmgren with 161. Mike Holmgren did that in 17 seasons.
Wow.
So Tomlin probably passes him in the next 2 years.
Yeah, right.
Then you're looking at Tom Coughlin at 170. Took Coughlin 20 years to get 170 wins.
How many did you say Tomlin's at right now?
145.
I think he'll pass.
That's 25 wins in four seasons.
Over 3 years. Yeah. Or 4 years, right.
4 years. Then you're looking at Mike Shanahan at 170. He and Coughlin are tied. So then Parcells with 172. Took Parcells 19 years to get to that number.
Mm-hmm. And Parcells and Gibbs are considered two of the greatest coaches ever.
Right.
Know? He's going to pass both those guys.
Right. These are all Hall of Fame type guys.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not in the Hall of Fame now, like Holmgren probably goes in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Coughlin is.
I don't know that Shanahan or Coughlin will, you know, but they're going to be on.
They'll have
on
a
ballots.
Good chance.
They're
on
ballots, right?
They, you know, they both won Super Bowls. They both did.
I mean, they won more games than Cowher, you know.
Yeah,
and they've been quite successful.
Coughlin won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, Grant didn't win any, but I mean, he's in.
Yeah, so that's what you're looking at there. If you look at games over 500 for their career.
Wow, okay.
Okay, Tomlin is 12th on the list at 67.
So he's won 67 more games than he's lost.
Yeah.
Wow.
That puts him 12th all time. The guys ahead of him are Don Shula, George Halas, Bill Belichick, Paul Brown, Curly Lambeau, Andy Reid, Tom Landry, Marty Schottenheimer, John Madden, Tony Dungy, George Allen.
How about that list? I mean, Chuck Noll's not on that list.
Chuck Noll is not on that list. Bill Cowher's not on that list.
No, right. And some great coaches are not on that list. I mean, including those two, obviously. Wow. You know, I mean, that's the who's who.
Yeah, I mean, again, when Marty Schottenheimer died, Marty Schottenheimer should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be. He should be.
74 games over 500.
Right. What more do you want from the guy? Yeah. And, again, you never... If you never have a losing season, you're just going to keep adding to it.
Right.
That's what he's done every year. I mean, I don't know that he'll finish his career without ever having a losing season. I mean,
yeah, it happens to everybody.
That's to be determined, but
yeah,
right.
I mean, everybody on that list ahead of him at one point or another had a losing season.
Mm-hmm. And a couple
even
of them.
Even Belichick. People forget about that.
Yeah, good point. And a couple of them, kind of like Noll did, finished with a whimper. You know, Landry, Shula, you know, those last couple
the
years.
The game had passed him by a little bit.
Right.
I don't get that feeling with Tomlin. I don't think the game has passed him by.
I don't think
he's not even 50 yet.
I say he's not old. You know, I mean, I think he's still very relatable with today's players and media and fans and all that. I feel like he's more in his prime than he is on the back nine.
Let's extrapolate this for a second. Let's say he hangs around. Let's say he doubles his career.
That's asking a lot.
You know, 28 years, but he's not 50 yet.
I know. But, I mean, does he want to? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess Carroll.
He doesn't do anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a football coach. Mm-hmm. But let's say he does that. So let's say he gets to 28 years. Well, Belichick in 26 years has 280 wins.
Okay.
Tomlin in 14 years has 145 wins.
Right. So they're same pace. He's actually ahead of them, obviously.
Very comparable. You know, Andy Reid in 22 years has 221 wins.
This is cheating a little, but now he gets to play one more game, too.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, so does Belichick, so does Reed.
Right, but still, I mean, you know.
It's going to help that, you know, jump him up that list, too. But even without it, he's on pace.
Looking here at playoff appearances, years in the playoffs, Tomlin is 17th on that list.
Wow. As a 50-year-old human being.
Yeah. In 14 seasons, he's been in the playoffs 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick has been there in 26 seasons 18 times.
Yeah. So it's about the same.
It's
about the same.
You know, you look at some of these guys that you know, Chuck Knoll in
I know 2 years of Tomlin where he was the last. They were last. They're one
if
game away.
If we had the playoff format that we now have, again, that one's going to only
that's
get
that's
better
help too,
because
right.
Yeah.
But it didn't help them 2 years in a row.
It didn't mean anything this year. They won a division.
Right. But the 2 years before, you're the seventh seed, and you would have got in.
You know, there's a lot there. If you start comparing him to the contemporaries, and that's what everybody, of course, wants to do. Well,
okay,
so you got Belichick.
I think he stands alone, of course.
Right. You know, then you're looking at...
I think Reed's a consensus, too, now.
Reed,
but
yeah.
Him lucking... Not lucking.
4 years ago, that wasn't the case.
No, they were... You know, Mahomes has helped that situation.
Absolutely.
At least, right. So, and Marino helped Shula's career a lot down the stretch. You know, that's the way it goes.
So you got Tomlin, you got Pete Carroll, you got Sean Payton.
See, I think Harbaugh's in that.
Harbaugh's in that group, but Harbaugh, when you compare him to those guys in overall winning percentage and everything
it's
a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
Carroll has in 15 seasons is 145-94-1.
Really good.
That's a .606 winning percentage. He's been in the playoffs 11 times in 15 years.
Really good.
Yeah.
Right.
Tomlin is in 14 years is 145-78-1. Been in the playoffs 9 times. He's got a .650 winning percentage.
Which is amazing. It's really, really good.
Sean Payton, the same exact number of years, same years of coaching as Mike Tomlin. 143-81-0. That's a 529. No, that's not right. Is that the right guy? That's a .638. I was looking at his playoff record. Okay. .638 winning percentage. He's been in the playoffs 9 times.
Hmm. Really good winning percentage. I didn't realize how strong that was.
Yeah. But he had 3 losing seasons with Drew Brees.
Yeah, they've had some down years.
You know, so that's the part of the argument that, well, Tomlin's had a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Sure.
So did Peyton.
I mean, so did Grant. So did, you know, I mean, all these guys you mentioned have had the quarterbacks, and that helps without question. I mean, including Belichick and Walsh and all these guys.
How many times, you know, again, Peyton's won it once.
Mm-hmm.
Only been there once. With Drew Brees.
Right. I mean, the Packers with Rodgers have only won one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guys that
there's another one. Mike McCarthy's been around for 14 years. He's 131-87-2.
He's probably not even close.
He's .600 winning percentage, and he was in the playoffs 9 times.
Okay. And underachieved greatly last year. I mean, his quarterback got hurt.
Yeah.
The whole quarterback-coach conversation is a good one to me because – I really do think to be on this list, it takes two to tango. You know, like
no doubt,
Gibbs stands out.
If you look at all of these coaches that are on this list, they all had a great quarterback. I think the only outlier there. Okay, I'm gonna cherry pick some names here. Shula, yes. Halas.
I mean, even Greasy was a really good player for his day.
George Halas.
I don't know if that counts because they didn't throw the ball.
They didn't throw the ball. Belichick, Landry, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Curly Lambeau.
I don't know about Lambeau.
Different era.
I mean, yeah, it's got to be from 19.
Andy Reid, yes.
Certainly late.
Paul Brown, yes.
Yes.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Not so much.
Yeah, he was always chasing the quarterback.
Right. Gibbs is another one that's going to come up.
Yeah. Noel, yes. Dan Reeves. Yes, with
Elway. For a bit, but Elway wasn't Elway yet either.
Right. That's kind of the Tomlin Cowher argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cowher, yeah, he was part of the reason that, you know, that they got Roethlisberger. Well, Reeves was there when they drafted Elway, so.
Right.
You know.
Good point.
Chuck Knox, no.
Mm-mm.
Jeff Fisher, definitely not. Well, I mean, McNair, but.
McNair, yeah.
Parcells.
Sims is probably on the McNair level.
Yeah.
You know, not Hall of Famers, but strong.
Coughlin, no, but...
Brunell wasn't bad. But...
And Manning won a couple of Super Bowls.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, decent.
Shanahan, yes.
Yeah, that's prime Elway, and yeah.
Yeah, Holmgren, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bud Grant, yes.
Tarkenton's a Hall of Famer, yeah.
Joe Gibbs?
I think no.
No.
I mean, he won like...
He had some good quarterbacks, but not...
I mean, Theismann was his best. I'm not even sure if he had Theismann, but he had Doug Williams. He had Rippon. You know, he won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks.
Right.
He stands out as, wow, you know.
Steve Owen. I think it was Norm Van Brocklin.
Yeah, I would add up.
Cower.
I mean, for
Mid Roethlisberger, yeah, at the end. And here's the thing about the Cower stuff. Everybody wants to bring up, well, you know, he went to a bunch of AFC championship games early in his career. Well, first of all, he didn't win them.
And they were some bad shows.
He lost three at home. And the AFC was clearly the Steelers and everybody else in those years.
Yeah.
The AFC was weak.
Yeah. Because it was almost, the NFC was the Niners and Cowboys and everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I forget about some of those things.
People used to talk about that. Well, the NFC Championship is the real Super Bowl.
You know, like everyone kills Cowher for losing that game to the Chargers, which they were huge.
Huge
favorites. And that's one of his worst blemishes. But they would have been a big dog against the Niners, too. I mean, Chargers lost by 40 or something in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. They got smoked. They give it was like 55-10 or something like that.
Where I was going with the whole quarterback coach thing, though, and that was fun kind of buzzing through those. I'm sure Ben would have been a great quarterback anywhere. I'm not sure that Brady and Montana would have been. You know, like, there's something to the coach using the quarterback right as well.
Correct.
You know, like, a lot of great talents equal to Ben have entered the league and fizzled out, you know, not used correctly. If Ben would have been drafted by the Browns. Phillip Rivers, right. I mean, he overcame a lot and had a really good career. I'm talking about even the bus. I mean, the guys that come in as talented as Ben – coaches don't use them right, you know. So I think there's, you know, Shula changed his offense for Marino.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's something to be said for, when you get a gift of a great player, you recognize it and change accordingly.
Unfortunately for them, they didn't win. You want to talk about having a franchise quarterback and you can't win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It happens more than people think.
It happens a lot. I mean, especially since Brady has so many. Doesn't leave much for others. And the fact is, 31 teams don't do it every year. And only one does. I mean, it's a small, small percentage.
The other thing is that, you know, think about the stat that for 20 years almost, the AFC representative in the Super Bowl had either Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and then there was an outlier.
I think Flacco was
the Flacco outlier.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was that
they
group.
They monopolized
it.
Yeah. It's like Jordan going to the Gretzky or one of those guys going every year.
It's like the Karl Malone theory. Well, he didn't eat. Karl Malone never won. Well, you know.
Right. Being second in your era is not so bad either.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like during the Tomlin era, the Steelers have been the second best organization in the league.
I remember writing that in 2004 when they lost in the AFC Championship to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
That Steeler fans could now kind of had the same feeling of what the Raiders had in the 70s.
Yeah.
Raiders had Hall of Famers all over the field.
Oh, tons of them. And Madden's on that list.
They won one Super Bowl.
Won one, I know. It's crazy.
Because the Steelers were there.
I mean, my dad, growing up, my dad and uncle fear the Raiders much more than the division or anybody else. I mean, that's the second best team out here, you know?
If for example, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady are in the NFC during those years.
Yeah.
Do the Steelers get to another Super Bowl or two?
Well, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Right. Who knows if they win it or not, but it's another.
They get there.
Mm-hmm. Or advance one game further in the playoffs or whatever, you know, right. Yeah. I mean,
they lost three conference championship games to the Patriots since 2001.
Yeah. Nobody cares about second best, but second best out of 32 over a 10-20-year stretch is damn impressive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's Seattle's in that conversation, and a couple of those teams have been quite strong for this whole duration. But, man, I mean, the Tomlin run is really hard to argue with.
And you rebuilt on the fly. People discount.
I think they're doing it right now.
Yeah. I remember pulling Kevin Colbert aside – at the Super Bowl in 08. Because in 05, part of the conversation at that time was, well, Colbert, they're winning with some of Donahoe's guys. There's always that.
Well, there's always that.
I mean. So in 08, I remember pulling Kevin aside, and I think they at that point they had maybe two or three guys still remaining that, that Donahoe had drafted.
Okay, at this point, Kevin had really done a lot.
It was really Kevin's team.
Sure.
And
but you're not going to cut Troy Polamalu.
Well, Polamalu was the Kevin guy. But Hines Ward was one of the leftovers.
Right,
you know,
should we get rid of him?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and I remember saying, you know, do you take any pride in the fact that this is pretty much your team, you know, the one that you drafted or signed these guys? And he's, I don't get into that.
Sure.
But then they went again in 2010, which with a, again,
entirely.
You know, again, Ward was still hanging around, but he wasn't a factor. You know, and then they had to rebuild.
Yeah.
On the fly, again, you 11, 12, 13, those were not good Steeler teams. They were 8-8 teams, and that's what they were.
See, that's what I keep getting at, is even when you're rebuilding, it keeps bringing back to this year, and certainly to 2018, when things don't go well, or you are in your version of a rebuild, it doesn't look like Jacksonville, or, you know, it doesn't look like
again,
what we've seen from
that,
the Jets.
That whole blow it up mantra that people throw out there. No.
No, right. You know, even like Atlanta this year, things went, they weren't the fourth worst team in the league, but you still couldn't win games, and you know it was ugly, and you end up picking fourth overall. Like, I have a hard time seeing all those teams you mentioned. I mean, the Saints, the Ravens, the Steelers, the Patriots. Patriots proved it to no end last year. I mean, give them nothing, and they won seven games. I mean,
yeah,
or they were not a good roster.
They were abysmal. Yeah,
abysmal. I mean, Seattle, I think, will be competitive, even though they run the ball. Like, Seattle to me is an interesting conversation. Like, if we were doing Seattle radio right now, we would talk about all the – or Seattle Nation Radio would be all over, let Russ cook, you got to throw the ball more. And there's much behind that. You know, I think the game may have passed Pete Carroll by a little bit, you know, in terms of how much people throw and when to go for it on fourth and all these things. And they still win 10 games every year. You know, they still win a very tough division. He know, I mean, there's more to it than – the game management, and you can criticize all these guys if you coach a long enough time, but knowing how to win in this league is a skill that 12 men have in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, Shanahan's learning it. You know, some of these guys are coming up are learning it. But guys that know how to win football games in this league when with an arm tie behind their back.
Here's here's another one to throw out there for you, Matt, that kind of drives everything home. I'm looking here at Pro Football Reference, and they have a statistic here for average. It's AV rank, so it's a team's average finish in their division.
Okay.
The top guys are at one. Now, the top guy is Dutch Bergman. He only coached 1 year. The number two guy is Lou, the guy's tied for number two are Lou Rimkus and Matt LaFleur. They were only coached 2 seasons, so that really
LaFleur's
doesn't.
LaFleur's two for two with the Packers. Okay.
Tomlin on this list. Overall.
So there's no minimal threshold here.
No.
I mean, 1 or 2 years counts.
He's eighth.
Wow.
They're at the Steelers' average finish under Mike Tomlin has been 1.6.
That's crazy.
1.6. So they're either first or second. They don't finish third. They don't finish fourth.
And if you did, that's a lot of ones to bring it back to the 1.6.
Right. So John Madden was at 1.3. That's the most of anybody who coached 10-plus years. Vince Lombardi.
But he only coached about 10 years, right?
Yeah, he coached 10 years on the nose.
Right, okay.
Blanton Collier, he coached 8 years. Their average finish was 1.4.
Where's Belichick?
Belichick is at 11. He's 11th at 1.7.
Because he was in the North for a while.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget those years.
Of active coaches, it's LaFleur, who's only coached 2 years,
really,
and Tomlin.
Wow.
Then Bill O'Brien, he's not active anymore, but in 7 seasons, his average finish was 1.7.
Is Harbaugh above 2?
Harbaugh's at 1.9.
Okay. Because, I mean, obviously the Ohio teams are bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
but the Bengals had some years where they finished first.
And now the Browns.
It wasn't the Steelers finishing third that year. It was the Ravens.
It was the Ravens. Right.
Sean Payton's 1.9. Andy Reid's 1.9. You know, some of these guys that
1 point anything's pretty damn impressive.
Well, absolutely. That means most of the time you finish first.
More often than not, you're the first place team in your division, with every team gunning their offseason to beat
to
you.
To beat you.
I mean, I say this all the time. We started every Browns draft meeting, okay, how do we beat the Steelers?
I remember having a conversation 25 years ago with Marvin Lewis when he was at that point with Washington as their defensive coordinator, and I called him up one day and we were chatting and we were talking about that exact thing. Like,
sure.
Every day we would start, you know, okay, what do we got to do to beat the Steelers?
Yeah, right. Wow.
Even when they weren't the team. You know, when Tom Coughlin took over the Jacksonville Jaguars, mm-hmm. they spent the season scouting the Steelers.
Yeah.
He was at four or five Steeler games in person.
Wow.
Watching the Steelers. How are they doing? What are they doing?
Okay. We steal from them.
Yeah.
Right.
How's this team attacking him? How's that team attacking
him? Yeah. A couple notes on that. Like, I've come to realize that one thing that almost every offensive mind does every offseason is study the Saints, their offense.
Right.
You know, because Peyton's the best. You know, I mean, to me, if you're going to do those type of things and just study the Steelers organization, the way they draft, the way they add personnel, the way they use it, develop it, all those things, that's one of those type of deals. I mean, I guarantee that the Jets, Dolphins, Bills spent decades, what can we steal from the Patriots? How do we get to the Patriots? I remember the one-off season.
It's the same thing. Like, everybody copied what the Browns were doing in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, right.
Okay, they're doing this, they're doing that. You know, there's this, okay.
Paul Brown created things that were ahead of his time.
Right.
I mean, everyone stole from Walsh, too, you know, without question. But even there was an offseason. Remember when the Dolphins signed Ndamukong Suh to insane money? The whole division did something like that to find some interior pass rusher to disturb Brady. You know, like, maybe we can find the chink in the armor. So they all do the same type of thing, you know? Like, they're always gunning for you. I mean, there's a target on your chest when you're the Steelers, even the Saints, the Seattles, you know.
Green Bay. I
mean, yeah.
And question. there's also that shows up on the field on game days.
Sure.
You know, whether you're good or bad, you know, when the Packers show up in somewhere, everybody, we got to beat the Packers.
Yeah.
They got 25,000 fans in the stands here today.
It's on prime time.
When the Cowboys come rolling into town, when the Steelers come rolling into town, when the Patriots
come
rolling.
It's never an empty stadium.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different feel. There's no question. You know,
so every game is a prime time feel to it, mm-hmm. has a playoff type feel to it.
Yep.
You're always getting everybody's best, whether they're bad, good.
And you're not going to always have your best 16 times a year, 17 times a year.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and people talk about, well, Tomlin loses games to bad teams on the road and blah, blah, blah.
He's not alone in that.
His winning percentage in those games is better than Bill Cowher's,
I bet it's better than average.
It's better. It's well above average.
Yeah.
It's right there with his winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to 650
losing to a bunch of bad teams on the road, right.
Yeah.
And he also kills good teams here.
Right. They don't just beat them. They beat the pants off of them.
They beat the pants off teams here, and a lot of them are really good teams, too.
Yeah.
You know,
I can go through dozens of Sunday night games, Monday night games, where it's, again, a playoff-type atmosphere.
Steelers are one-point favorite or something.
Yeah,
right.
And they come out and just rout that team.
Mm-hmm. Repeatedly.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, this is a transitional time in the franchise.
Absolutely.
I mean, no question about
it. And I think that Art Rooney sent a message that he wants Mike Tomlin leading this team into that next era of Steeler football.
Right. I don't want to go find a new guy. It would be an easy time to do it.
No, absolutely.
You've had a great career. It
would be an easy time for Tomlin to step away.
Right. You're out on top to some degree. I don't want to deal with post-Roethlisberger. Put one more year in. We all part ways. And I don't really even know how Cowher left, but – it wasn't like, he has to go, he's terrible. You know, like Landry, was time to go. You know what I mean? Sometimes people step away. That easily could have been the case. You know, Kevin's up in age. He could be a totally new quarterback, GM, coach. But I'll take with what you got and try to rebuild. And rebuild's even the wrong word. You know, try to reload next year with the staff they have.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the track record is there. We've seen – you know, for the longest time as well, he's just winning because of he has Ben Roethlisberger. Well, 2019 kind of disproved that.
Yeah, without question. I'm being 18.
They had a winning record without Roethlisberger that year.
Yeah. Wow.
They were 8-6 in games Roethlisberger didn't start in 2019. Think about that.
I mean, they got their pants blown off by the Patriots.
With Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges, they went 8-6.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no offense, but Devlin Hodges isn't an NFL player.
He's not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he's not going
to
be in the league.
They manufactured wins, which is really difficult to do in this league.
Yeah. Mike Lombardi quotes this a lot because he was in San Francisco with Bill Walsh, and it's in Bill Walsh's famous book where he believed – there's 6 to 8 teams we got to worry about every year. You know, it's not that the Bengals can't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, the Pirates could win the Super World Series, too, as I chuckle. You know, I mean, the worlds ever collide and everything works out well. But every year, you know these 6 to 8 are going to be in it. You know, I mean, catastrophe has to hit for them not to be in it. Catastrophe hit for the Patriots this past year and half of the Steelers 2 years ago, and they weren't too far out of it.
You know what I mean? Right.
You know?
And they've had some catastrophic things happen to them going into the playoffs in some of those years. The only year that I can't give them a pass is 2017 when they lost to Jacksonville. But you could look at that and also say that Jacksonville was a bad matchup for them.
They were. And the Steelers looked like a worn-out team on defense at the time. But they were the better football team.
They were the better football team. You know, you could say, well, they lost Ryan Shazier and they were kind of patching it together defensively.
They were.
But that's still a game that they should win.
Mm-hmm. Losing Shazier is a giant step that hurt this team. It set them back two years, really. It did. But that's not the – I'm not making light of his injury at all. But all teams, if you look throughout
– have
sure
somebody.
Sean Payton had somebody that didn't work out. I mean, not to that degree or as tragic, you know, on the field situation.
I mean, 2015, they were holding it together with Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have D'Antonio Brown. You didn't have Le'Veon Bell. You didn't have D'Angelo Williams when you went to Denver.
It's one of my least favorite.
And very easily could have won that game against the team that won the world championship.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, you go to New England for the AFC Championship. You don't have Cam Hayward. Stephon Tuitt's playing on one leg and really shouldn't have been playing.
Mm-hmm.
Then Le'Veon Bell goes down in the five carries into
right
the game.
At the beginning, yeah. And Bell was at the height of his powers.
He was the best player in the league at that point.
He really was.
Yeah.
I guess there's a couple ways of looking at that. First of all, my least favorite thing about this sport is injuries and the fact that that the Super Bowl champs is somewhat of a war of attrition.
Yeah.
You know, because the Steelers aren't alone. We didn't have some of our best guys in the playoffs because the seasons beat up people to no end. And I'm sure the Tomlin detractors will be like, well, he's got to manage their workloads better. He ran Bell into the ground. Well, that's how you get there, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't see it that way. I mean, I think that they have had some bad luck with postseason injuries more than most during the Tomlin chair.
To key players. Like, you can overcome a couple of injuries here or there
As great as DeCastro is, you could live without DeCastro for a game or, you know.
Yeah, they've done that.
You can't with the best running back in the league.
Right.
And, you know,
your all-pro defensive tackle. Right.
Antonio Brown's like
number one wide receiver. Your quarterback was playing in that game against the Broncos with a separated shoulder.
Yeah.
Couldn't throw the ball 25 yards.
I remember when Bell got hurt, I think I sent out a tweet saying, against Patriots, saying, if Belichick could take any piece off this chessboard,
that was the one.
Definitely the one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you work all week. How are we going to limit Bell? We're not going to stop him. Kind of like when he had the game plan against Falk, and, you know, those type of things. And he gets plucked off the board for free. You don't even have to give up 5 pawns to do it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and the queen's gone. Yeah, we got shot.
Yeah, now it's a completely different ball game.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, I think that, Mike Tomlin takes some criticism for that, and some of it's warranted.
Every head coach does.
Right.
You know, now Belichick's about to because Brady's gone. He's just a product.
Now all of a sudden Belichick, the GM, is getting criticism
for the
roster that they put on the field last year.
I just mentioned Carroll. You know, I mean, Harbaugh had some time. He almost got fired.
Harbaugh was with it with the Nats eyelash of being fired 3 years ago.
Throws Lamar on the field because, hey, what do I got to lose?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to get fired at the end of the season one way or the other. I might as well go out with this guy.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people in New Orleans are going, Peyton's only won one Super Bowl, you know.
They had three straight years of 7-9.
Yeah.
You know, in the mid-2010s.
Mm-hmm.
Three straight years of 7-9 with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
And then they decided to sell out and go for it.
Mm-hmm. And now we'll see how they respond.
Now we'll see what happens, All of a sudden, they could be a 6-10 team.
Very
or 6-11
team. For them, too. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even Shanahan, who's the genius, he had one good year. I mean, like, I would hire Shanahan in a heartbeat. But last year they were what, 6-10, 7-9?
Yeah.
2 years before that, they had the second pick in the draft and got Bosa. And in between, they went to a Super Bowl. You know, like, you know, McVay.
When you're walking into a situation where you're picking high, you know, McVay's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you're coming in with the top 10 draft picks. Steelers don't have that. Tomlin's
not had that.
You know, Cowher really didn't have that. Mm-hmm. You're kind of you're rebuilding with the 18th pick in the draft or the 20th pick in the draft every year.
Develop talent.
That's hard to do.
And of course, it's a great GM helps, but in order to do that, you better develop fourth round picks that have something wrong in their game. You know, his kick slides a little off. Well, our O-line coach better get that.
He's gonna fix that.
You know what I mean? I mean, you got to coach that stuff up.
Yeah. So, but interesting. We'll see again. Yeah. The Steelers tying the caboose, continuing to tie the caboose to.
It's a no-brainer extension, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if anyone's thinking, man, this was time to get away, this is a no-brainer move.
Yeah.
You're fortunate you're in this position.
You got to have some stability. You're gonna be losing your franchise quarterback, potentially your general manager here in the next couple of years. You keep that stability at head coach to kind of continue what you have.
Troops, right.
You know, it could be much, much worse.
Oh, boy. I
mean, people in Pittsburgh seem to forget that the 80s took place.
Right. It is very convenient to forget those. I mean, and some people are too young to remember.
Yeah.
But
two playoff wins in a decade.
In a decade, right. I mean, with all respect to the Emperor, I mean, he's an all-time great coach and building maybe the best dynasty in history. It was not pretty.
There's some thin years.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm sure they went – I mean, I know they went many years picking very, very late in the first round and all those things. Well, it just shows how hard that is to survive with.
Yeah, it
and
caught
then
up
you miss
to him.
On the Tim Worleys and some of the early picks, you know, when you did get them.
Yeah, for sure. But that's going to do it for this segment. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.